The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to Pilgrim. Pastor Dow is on vacation, so I'm here. We begin this morning with a time of catechesis, looking at the sacrament of the altar on page 226 of the fourth part of the hymnal. Last Sunday you asked the first question, what is the sacrament of the altar? This morning we look at the second question. Where is this written?
The holy evangelist Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
So as we first find out what it is, that it is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat. Right now we find out why do we believe this, and that's because it comes from the pages of Holy Scripture. It is written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul, 1 Corinthians. We take these words of Jesus and St. Paul, and we fix these together into this nice form. None of the accounts contradict each other. We put them all together and we come out with what we refer to sometimes as the verba, meaning the words of Christ that make the supper the supper. When, Luther writes, the word is brought to the elements, it becomes a sacrament. These are those very words. And that's why some of the ceremonies of the church indicate that we show reverence for the words as Jesus speaks them by bowing or making the sign of the cross. Again, ceremonies are individual, they are not mandatory, but some of us find them helpful in helping us to understand what it is that's taking place. Luther has some things to say also about these words in the Large Catechism. He says, we have no wish to dispute or quarrel with those who disagree with us. We have God's word. We have God's command that these things be done. He says, as we said of baptism that it is not mere water, so we say here that the sacrament is bread and wine, but not mere bread and wine, as it is served at the table. It is bread and wine comprehended in God's word and connected to it. So it's the word which distinguishes the sacrament, makes the bread and wine also the vehicle by which we receive the body and blood of Christ. Any questions or comments about the second question of the Lord's Supper? We're using Divine Service Setting 4 again this morning, page 203, Service Preparation. Please stand if you are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, In holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
The Lord has made known his salvation.
He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Break forth into joyous songs and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre.
With the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn.
Make a joyful noise before the King of the Lord.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning. For he has done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
Be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. The first reading appointed for today is written in the second book of Luke, commonly called the Acts of the Apostles, the 11th chapter. In those days, the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'When God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at the very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The second reading is written in the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John the Apostle, the 21st chapter. "In those days I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
over him. Anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. So they kept saying, What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us came, and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please remain standing for the hymn of the day, number 672. Thank you. the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Each passing year of life, I become increasingly aware that I'm closer to my expiration date, whatever that might be. Not to whine, but forget the stiff joints. Just one brief look walking past a mirror tells me that youthfulness is long gone. So I find myself thinking more about death. Not to be morbid, but actually to think about heaven and what it must be like to live in sinless perfection in the presence of God. And some of my pondering about having a perfect life is actually, well, silly. Appearance, hair, no hair. I know Scripture doesn't answer any of those things as if they even mattered. But what Scripture does say is so breathtaking that these inane notions are soon withdrawn. I'm certainly not the first to inquire about something perfect. Sir Thomas More, who lived at the end of the 15th and early part of the 16th century, was an English judge, lawyer, philosopher, theologian, and statesman. In 1516, about a year before the beginning of the Reformation, he wrote a book about a perfect city called Utopia. And so he gave us a word for this so-called perfect society. The cinema certainly has had its share of films about such a society. And we even hear talk these days about the golden age of America. But cinema and society both seem to have more instances of portraying dystopia and the degeneracy of both culture and government. Despite our political leanings, the level of such corruption in the halls of government today might arguably cause each of us to question whether this can ever be repaired and restored. Are we too far gone? So the idea of utopia and a perfect society sounds wonderful. But unlike Thomas More, such an idea is not merely in our imaginations. It's described for us in the pages of Holy Scripture. Once again, we focus our attention on today's second reading from Revelation in the ongoing series, Revelation and Resurrection. Our text is descriptive of God's perfect and eternal city. And so we make this our theme. As always, context is vital to understanding the text. It's especially true this morning because it's a huge jump from last Sunday's sermon in chapter 7 to today's in chapter 21. Revelation consists of seven visions. The first 19 chapters consist of the first six visions. These visions show Satan's unsuccessful attempts to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. The seventh vision begins one chapter earlier than our text in chapter 20. This vision consists of the final public judgment at the great white throne, where all unbelievers, Satan and his followers, are judged and condemned to their eternal home, hell. So serious is this vision that a warning is again given in verse 8, which follows our text. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Believers, however, are those whose names are written in the book of life. They also are judged and declared blessed. Their eternal home and ours is described in chapter 21, today's text. The eternal home is described as follows. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Are we to understand this new heaven and new earth to be literal? The divinely inspired prophet Isaiah reveals that God will create a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells in chapters 65 and 66. And likewise, the Apostle Peter says we're waiting for this new heaven and new earth as our eternal home. St. Paul also reminds us that creation itself waits with eager longing to be set free from its bondage to corruption and to obtain the freedom and glory of the children of God in Romans chapter 8. St. John says that the new creation replaces the old, which has been thoroughly corrupted by sin. St. Peter, in his second epistle, depicts this destruction of the present order in a fire so intense that the elements melt in its heat. The Reverend Professor Lewis Brighton said, quote, "The present heaven and earth originally created by God would not be a fit home for his resurrected and righteous saints. The earth was cursed and thus suffered decay and ruin." Indeed, and all of humankind has also had its very nature utterly corrupted by sin. As we come to grips with our mortality and death, we must admit that the end of all of our efforts, the final end of all of our endeavors, are tears, mourning, pain, and dying. Our sin not only results in a failure to striving to produce a perfect existence, but it gains us nothing but God's temporal punishment and eternal wrath. Unless and until God himself steps in to repair sin's damage to his once perfect world and his relationship with his creation. Our text is filled with beautiful pictures of God's intention and intervention to make all things new. The Reverend Professor Martin Franzman says, quote, "New is not merely more recent in date, but as created and designed to supersede and replace the old, new with an astonishing end of time newness, unheard of and wondrous, as unpredictably strange as the fact that the new covenant which succeeds and replaces the ruins of the guilt-marred old covenant should be a covenant of divine forgiveness." Close quote. In our text, we are promised a new creation, as we've seen. Secondly, we're promised a new condition in verse 2. "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The church is that bride, adorned and prepared by the Lord for the Lord. Third, there's a new communion. Verse 3, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people." Dwelling and dwell are the Greek words for tabernacle. As God was tabernacled among his people in the wilderness, and as Christ is tabernacled among us in his incarnation, so God will dwell with us in unbroken eternal communion and fellowship. And fourth, there's a new certainty. It's so difficult to describe God's perfect and eternal city that we are here told what will not be there. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. I like how a pastor by the name of Ed Wolf combines and connects this new city with the substitutionary atonement of Christ. Quote, Jesus didn't remove these things, but he made them his own. He makes our tears his tears, our crying his crying, our mourning his mourning, our pain his pain, and our death his death. Crushed and killed by the very things that crush us, he redeems us and restores us. Our death is his death, and his life, his resurrection, are given to us freely and fully. Close quote. Jesus became our substitute and paid the full price for our sins. His precious blood, his very life, for us and in our place. He took upon himself the punishment that we alone deserve. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to the fear of mortality and death. We are no longer held captive by the devil. In Christ's resurrection, we have not only the guarantee that the Father has accepted his sacrifice on our behalf, but we have eternal life in God's perfect city. The Lord does not make new things, note, but he makes all things new. By his word in all its forms, in the trustworthy and true word written for us in Holy Scriptures, the word in the waters of holy baptism, new life-giving water, the word of holy absolution with the pastor's touch that sets us free to begin anew, the word with bread and wine and the Holy Supper, which are the very body of and blood of Christ, nourishment for new creations given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. By these means of grace, the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth, as Jesus said in our gospel reading, strengthens us so that our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found, as we prayed in today's collect. In addition, God also calls and enables us to have the repentance that leads to life, as did the Gentiles in the first reading from Acts. He makes us contrite on account of our sin and gives faith to believe the gospel, which tells us that sin has been forgiven and grace has been obtained through Christ. When we repent, then God forgives us our sinful nature and all our actual sins. He forgives us for the sake of Christ Jesus. Movies will continue to depict both utopias and dystopias. Politicians will continue to disappoint us with their corruption and lies. Aging, aches, pains, illness may make the awareness of our mortality become more pronounced. And so, in repentance and faith, we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who gives us a hope-filled revelation of God's perfect and eternal city. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended. For the holy Christian church throughout the world, and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Matthew, our Synod President, Michael, our District President, Joe, our Circuit Vicar, Jason, our own pastor, and all servants of the church, that they may teach the Word of God purely and clearly. For pastoral candidates, that they may receive calls. For congregations without pastors, to receive them. For Luther Academy, that they will fulfill their mission to promote genuine confessional Lutheran theology among pastors and congregations, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and for all the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides to support the church and to help those in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the educational institutions of our synod, for our preschools, our day schools and high schools, our colleges and universities, and for our seminaries, that those who teach and those who learn in them would be transformed by the wisdom of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking in repentance and faith, they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life and have a foretaste of the feast to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and all our people, for our President and Congress, our Governor and Legislature, our judges and magistrates, and all who serve in public office, that God, in whom alone we place all our hope, would bless them, order their plans for the welfare of the governed, and execute his justice for the oppressed. For all who serve in worthy occupations, professions, arts, sciences, and public safety. For our military personnel at home and abroad, that God would grant them skill, discernment, and integrity in performance of their responsibilities through their vocations, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that in their time of sorrow they would not lose hope but rely on God's promise that he will never leave them or forsake them. For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, and for those who have suffered injury, loss of life or property, from flooding, heat, wildfires, earthquakes, extreme weather, that God's great mercy and love preserve and relieve them. For those in need of healing, especially David, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Robert, Michelle, Jim, BJ, and Ann, that God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, and grant all wisdom and skill to medical professionals, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those praying for a child and for all mothers and their unborn children, that our Lord would bless, keep, and preserve them and bring them safely to the day of birth, and by his grace bring these children to the cleansing waters of holy baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from legalized abortion in our country, especially the children, parents, grandparents, siblings, and medical personnel, and for all of us who live in such evil days, that the sanctity of life would once again be acknowledged and promoted, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the gifts of physical and spiritual life that God has given Nicholas, and that God would continue to give him physical life according to his will, keeping him mindful of his baptismal birthday and preserving him in his baptismal grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, wherever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you have so freely bestowed on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For Christ our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed. By his death he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body, given unto death, and drinking his life's blood, poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Strengthen and preserve your body and soul to everlasting life. Depart in peace.
Son of the Holy Spirit.
gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, and on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated.
It's good that God has gathered us together once again to receive his gift of forgiveness and word and sacrament, and he has given us enough life yet to do so. Mr. Gower should be back this week. Are there any announcements from the congregation? Well, good. I look forward to hearing that.